Good evening. So I'm going to just pray for Nick as he comes to bring the word. As Nick already said, he's the worship pastor at Beach Church, but also oversees worship across our East Gateway hub. And so it's a real privilege to have him part of our team. And really, as you've probably found out this evening, a real anointed worship leader. And we thank God for his life, and we thank God for the way that God has used him, certainly within Beach Church, and I'm looking forward to the way that he's going to help and be part of the team over here in Ashendon and Rayleigh over the months and years ahead. Well, maybe one thing you don't know is that he's actually the brother-in-law of Pastor Gianluca. So Pastor Gianluca, that's going to be coming here to work with Dean in January, he's the brother-in-law of Pastor Gianluca. He's the husband of Adriana, who some of you may have heard when she spoke at Rayleigh recently. And so it's a very incestuous kind of team that we have. They're all related to one another somehow, some way. But it really is a great privilege to have them part of our team. So thank you for leading us this evening. And let's just pray for Nick as he brings the message to us this evening. And let's pray for ourselves that we would have ears to hear what his Holy Spirit wants to say to us this evening. Father, we thank you for Nick, Lord. We thank you for the way that you've used him already this evening to lead us into your presence. Thank you for Catherine, Lord, for the way that they both led us this evening, for their sensitivity to your Spirit this evening. And we pray that now, that as he ministers your word to us, as a pastor of Elim, Lord, we pray that we would have ears to hear what he has to say, what he has prepared, but ultimately what you want us to hear through the words that you've already given to him. Mm. So, Lord, we pray your continued anointing upon him now as he brings that word to us, and that your church here would have ears to hear what your Spirit wants to say. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Testing. Is it on?
Is that working now?
Well, evening, everybody.
Yeah.
I wrote a whole section of just introducing myself, so I feel like that's half an hour. just real quick, just if you haven't already, just could you turn your devices on silent, just in case it goes off. So make sure mine's on as well. It'll be a bit distracting, particularly for those who are on, who are preaching, distracted. But also to you guys, because we obviously want to hear as well. Hopefully, if I've heard God right, what God might want you to hear this evening. Before I start, I thought it fitting, because none of you really know me, and haven't actually done this in a while, I'll just give a brief testimony about myself. I don't think I'm wording that correctly, but just explain my background a little bit. So again, my name's Nick, or Nikola Shankovic. I'm actually 33. I was born, for those of you who might know, in a place called Frimley, which is outside of London, Frimley Park Hospital, if you're wondering. I've actually lived all over the place. I've moved around quite a lot. My parents, they're a bit of nomads. They like to move around a lot. I actually lived in Wales when I was young, and then we moved to various different places around near Basingstoke. Has anyone heard of Basingstoke?
Yeah.
Wow. See, in London, hardly anyone knows Basingstoke, but out here, that's a bit interesting. So I'm adopted. I come from a Christian home. My mom and dad, and I live with my brother as well, who's a little bit younger than me, 6 years younger than me. Grew up with good Christian values and morals and theology as well, I would still stand on to this day. I was baptized at a young age as well. But in my teenage years, as is the case with, unfortunately, a lot of kids who are brought up in Christian homes, thankfully not all kids, but many, I went a bit wayward. I started seeking other things. I was a very curious person, still am, always have been, a very curious person. I wanted to know how things work, how the world works, what things might do. And my interests got piqued towards drugs and alcohol and women as well when I was younger. So towards the end of my secondary school years, I started taking drugs, smoking, drinking a lot. And by the time I was in my second year of college, after that, I actually, for the first time, tried heroin. And that, for those of you who know anything, even remotely about heroin, you will know that that's a quick downward spiral. And it was definitely the case for me. I was almost addicted the first time, almost, not quite. I'd liked it that much, I tried it again, and then, yeah, I was basically addicted after that. And literally my life just was, at that point, completely being ruined, as you can imagine. I had a habit that I wanted to continue, that I needed to fund. I was working in a CEX shop at the time, and I began stealing from there. I was engaged at the time as well, that relationship got ruined. I began stealing from my parents. Obviously that would have brought a lot of problems for that. And even my college work was ruined. It's actually by God's grace that I managed to actually pass college, because I had some very gracious teachers who knew my situation. And somehow I managed to get through it. But thankfully, by God's grace, that part of my life didn't last for too long. I think I must have been on heroin and substitute for about a year. So it wasn't too long. Compared to most people who end up on their drugs, particularly heroin, they can be on it for years. It's by God's grace that that wasn't my story, isn't my story. But drugs still was. It wasn't the end of it. I remember some guy praying for me, called me up to the front of the church. Well, he didn't call me, I asked people to come up to the front if they wanted prayer, and I went up and I told him. I think he was the first person I told, if I remember correctly, apart from my parents. And he prayed for me. And literally, I think it was within a week, that was actually that point when my relationship with my fiance at the time came to an end. And that, effectively, was what kicked me in the backside and told me, you need to wake up, this is not good. And I sought help. And I basically ended up just completely going cold turkey. For those of you who don't know what that means just completely stopping. It's not nice, but that's what I did. But then, my story continues. I started smoking weed, and just hung around a lot of other people who would smoke weed. And that was just my story for quite some time. Anyway, to cut a long story short, over the course of the next probably 5 years, at some point I did meet with God. I had a real big encounter with God that I never actually had previous to that. And at that point I just gave my life completely to God. I was so on fire. I was proper zealous. I don't know if you've ever seen some of them Christians. I was just like, yes! You might be surprised if you know me now, because I'm not like that, even in the slightest. but I was back then. Maybe a little bit annoying as well. But then I went back into it again, because I just basically hadn't gone through the process of allowing my mind to be renewed. We, you know, we read that in scripture, don't we? That I've written here, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That hadn't happened yet. And so after years, basically, I was hearing voices, I was anxious all the time, I was depressed. I just came to the end of myself, and I reached out to Teen Challenge, and I presume most of you know about Teen Challenge. And in 2015 was when I went to Teen Challenge, and haven't smoked weed since then. I've just been free. So I just thank God for that, obviously. And the reason I say this is, one is just so that you guys get to know who I am a little bit, might be my background. It's a bit odd if I come here and just don't explain anything about me. You're like, who is this guy? So maybe it gives you a bit of context. And by God's grace, since then, I've got married just this year. I got a degree in theology about 3 years, 4 years ago now. I finished in Regents. And obviously I'm working in B Church as a pastor. I don't know where my life's going to take me from here on. God's been really good to me, even though I haven't always been faithful throughout my life. And I think so many of us can relate to that, because none of us have ever been entirely faithful, even though we might have been Christian and a strong Christian.
Sure.
And so I just give God glory.
for that. So, coming back now to my sermon. Who here knows, just a quick question, just a show of hands, who here knows how it feels, and I know most of you will be hand up, how it feels to be disappointed? To be disappointed. You know, I did this before, and there was actually a number, like a lot of people who didn't put their hand up, and I was like, really? Did you not listen? Did you not hear what I was saying? But, yeah. So all of us, really, it's a human thing, right? We all, at times, have felt disappointed. For me, I went through a very difficult period of my life just a few months ago. I was quite hurt by somebody, someone who I was getting close to, it just left me feeling very hurt and confused and misunderstood and disappointed in them, in the way that they handled the situation. It's a universal thing, right? We all, again, go through this at times. It can be something at work, it can be a relationship that fell apart, it can be a life goal that perhaps hasn't realized yet. It can be for many different things. So how about you? I wonder if any of you today or recently have been going through a period of disappointment, maybe possibly a period of confusion or hurt, maybe being misunderstood, maybe being a little bit annoyed and angry at God. So, if you can, if you have your Bibles, I don't know if we put it up on there, but I didn't give the scripture, but open up to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And just as you're turning, I'm just going to give you a bit of context for this. So this is a story about Elijah. So in chapter 8, Elijah, this prophet of God, had this longing in himself to see a revival, to see the nation of Israel turn back to God. They had turned away from God and they began to serve Baal and these other false gods. But he had this longing in him for them to come back, to be revived again. And so in chapter 18, in front of a number of these other Israelites who were there, Elijah confronts these false prophets, these prophets of Baal, and he challenges them and says, if Yahweh, Lord, is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. And he then tests them to call down fire from heaven. Who knows this story? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. And then he says, why don't you just pour some water? That's afterwards, isn't it? That's when he does it for himself. And so they try and try and try for ages, hours, literally half the day, and nothing. Not a thing. And he's there just mocking them. Says, why don't you try this? Why don't you do that? Nothing. And then Elijah comes. It's his turn now. And this is where he says, pour water over it. And he drenches this sacrificed bull. And then he prays this prayer. Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today, let it be known that you are God in Israel. And I am your servant. And that at your word, I have done all these things. Answer me, Lord. Answer me, so that this people will know that you, the Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. And immediately after that, fire came straight down from heaven, burning up this sacrificed bull. And many of the people who saw it immediately believed in Yahweh, in the one true God. And then Elijah ordered the seizing and killing of these false prophets of Baal. And then we get to chapter 19. Now just before we read a bit of it, today's sermon is titled, When Disappointment Becomes a Divine Appointment. When Disappointment Becomes a Divine Appointment. In our text today, we find Elijah, this mighty prophet of God, wrestling with deep disappointment and despair. But through his journey, God doesn't abandon him. Instead, he turns his disappointment into a divine appointment. So hopefully you have your Bibles open to 1 Kings chapter 19 right now. I'm going to be reading from the CSB version today. Do you guys normally stand when you read?
No.
No? That's fine. I'm going to ask you to to stand today. I might do another time in the future. So, from verse 1. Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. This is what we just went over a moment ago. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "May the gods punish me and do so severely if I don't make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then Elijah became afraid and immediately ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba, that belonged to Judah, he left his servant there. But he went on a day's journey into the wilderness. He sat down under a broom tree and prayed that he might die. He said, "I have had enough. Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Now, just keep your Bibles open there. We're going to come back to this in a minute. As mentioned a moment ago, Elijah had just experienced this massive mountaintop moment where this fire literally came down from heaven in front of many people. He saw this miracle that I would, forgive me if I'm wrong, I don't think any of us have seen here before. It'd be pretty amazing if we saw that, wouldn't it? He literally saw God's power on full display in front of him. He just had this moment where some people who were there were revived. They believed in the Lord. They believed. But instead of the entire nation now turning back to God, instead, he's now running for his life. And you can imagine how he would feel, how disappointed he would feel. And we can see here, we just read that he wants to die. He said that he's no better than his ancestors. And I think we can relate at times, maybe not in exactly the same way, but it just highlights how sometimes we can go through life doing things, even for God, and when it doesn't happen, what we hope for, we can get really disappointed, and we can even wonder and question, was we in the right place? Did we do the right thing? Am I walking with God in this? Verse 5. Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. Suddenly an angel touched him. The angel told him, "Get up and eat." Then he looked, and there on his head was a loaf of bread baked over hot stones and a jug of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord returned for a second time and touched him. He said, "Get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Then on the strength from that food, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. And he entered a cave there and spent the night. And suddenly the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of armies, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are looking for me to take my life." So far, Elijah runs away to the wilderness, he prays to die, he feels utterly alone, and he believes he is the only one left who is serving God. Elijah's words in verse 10, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. I am the only one left." This shows his inner anguish. Disappointment can lead us to believe we are alone in our struggle and that our efforts have been in vain. His isolation and desire to give up reflects what this emotion can do to us, that unmet expectations have on us. Verse 11. Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the Lord's presence." At that moment, the Lord passed by. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and was shattering cliffs before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a voice, a soft voice. When Elijah heard it, He wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. So instead of rebuking Elijah, instead of God rebuking Elijah, God reveals himself to him in a still and small voice. After the powerful wind, after the earthquake, after the fire. And it's interesting, isn't it, how God met with, in a way, met with Elijah on top of the mountain, with the fire coming down from heaven. And here, God's saying, I'm not in the wind or the earthquake or the fire. But he's a gentle whisper. So often we can think that we know what God has planned, that we know what God is doing. But God will show up in unexpected ways at times. Verse 13, suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? I have been very zealous for the God of armies, he replied. But the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they're looking for me to take my life. Then the Lord said to him, go and return by the way you came to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you are to anoint Hazael as king over Aram. You are to anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, so many of these words, as prophet in your place. Then Jehu will put to death whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death whoever escapes the sword of Jehu. But I will leave 7,000 in Israel, every knee that has not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So God reassures Elijah that he is not alone. 7,000 people will remain faithful to Israel. God also gives Elijah new tasks, including anointing future leaders. God doesn't allow Elijah to stay in his despair. Instead, he gives him a new direction, a new perspective. And Elijah's disappointment wasn't the end of his story. In fact, it was turned into an opportunity for God to realign him with his broader purpose. So this is my first point. Acknowledge your disappointment honestly. Acknowledge your disappointment honestly. Elijah wasn't shy with God about his feelings. He was honest with him. He poured out his heart. He expressed his fear, his exhaustion, his hopelessness. He even said, I want to die. Kill me. Pretending we're okay when we're not is not helpful to anyone here. Trying to be that man who's got to be a manly man, that's never going to cry, never going to admit that they're wrong. It's not healthy. Now, of course, as men, I believe we do have to hold some kind of level of control. We're not supposed to be completely emotional. I don't think any of us are. But we at least have to be honest with how we're feeling with God, particularly. Elijah was. I know sometimes we can be angry at God because of something that's happened. Even hiding that from him is not good. He knows. There's no point even pretending that you're not angry at him. He knows. It's not possible to hide. God is big enough to handle your disappointment, your grief, your frustration, your anger. Go to him in prayer. No matter what your situation is, no matter who it's concerning, what it's concerning, anything, he's big enough to hear it and to understand it. Be authentic with God. My second point, rest and replenish. Rest and replenish. Notice that before God sent out Elijah again, before he addressed Elijah's spiritual state, before he even really said anything, he provided food for him and drink for him. And he slept. And then he did it again. And then God gave him something to do, gave him a command, where to go. You know, often we can just get into this mode where particularly in this society, where we're just so constantly on the go, particularly if you live in London or I know we're quite close-ish to London, you're just constantly on the go, doing stuff all the time. And I know with modern life particularly, it's even worse than, in my opinion, than ever before. So many things pulling us. And so we get used to this idea that, you know, we just got to keep going. We just got to keep doing the things that we have to get done. Doesn't matter how we feel. Doesn't matter if we're feeling a bit sick. Doesn't matter. We have to keep going. That's what can be in us. Yet, we see here what Elijah's going through. God tells him to rest. He gives him food and water. And we need to remember that. God wants us to be in a physically and mentally better place before we even continue doing certain things. And I think, I was going to say it's logical, but maybe it's not for everybody. But if you don't do that, you're not going to be your best for whatever it is your hand is doing. If you don't do that, you're not going to be the nicest person around other people. So it's really important that we do take rest, replenish ourselves. And don't get into this mindset that we have to just keep pushing on all the time, without stopping, without resting and eating and drinking. We have to. And I know this is very basic. Some of you probably, I've got this one, I know this one very well. But I know some of us might not. And I think some of you need to also hear that it's okay to stop. To rest at times. My third point. Look for God in the quiet. Look for God in the quiet. Elijah expected for God to show up in dramatic ways. Yet this time, God didn't show up in a dramatic way. He was shown the earthquake and the wind and the fire, but he was not there. His presence was in the gentle whisper. You know, often we can be blinded, particularly when we are disappointed, when we're going through difficult times. We can be blinded to what God is actually truly doing in our lives. I wonder how many times you've had no idea that God has been working in your life. And it's only when you look back, I know this is the case for me, it's only when you look back you realize, oh wow, God's been here the whole time, and I didn't even realize. I've been feeling all alone. I've been feeling like God doesn't care. But now when you look and you see, God was there the whole time. Who can relate to that? Look for God in the small things. I want to encourage you to slow down. Listen for his voice in the small, everyday moments. What are the subtle signs of God's guidance and provision for you? Even right now, if things aren't going as planned for you, what are the signs that God is here with you, that he sees you, that he is working? What is he saying? What is he doing? If you're still not sure, pray about it. Ask the Lord to show you. And my fourth point, re-engage with purpose. Re-engage with purpose. God gave Elijah a new assignment, reminding him that his work was not finished. It was not over. If you let it, disappointment can paralyze you. It can stop you. Whatever you thought that God was initially calling you to do, I've been in this situation, let me tell you, as a pastor over the last 3 years, I cannot tell you how many times. When you feel that God has told you to do something, and you're met with disappointments, you're met with hurdles, challenges, it can paralyze you and stop you, if you allow it, from continuing on with God's plan for you. What he has asked you to do, you know he has asked you to do. So what is it in your life that God has asked you to do? This could be something that has happened 20 years ago.
your life, if anything?
Hopefully not.
But it's okay if it is. What is it in your life that God has asked you to do and you got met with disappointment, discouragement, and you stopped? What is it that paralyzed you? I would challenge you, if that is you, if you're going through it now perhaps, or if you've been through it in the past, think about it. You know, disappointments and hurdles, they're a guarantee in our lives at times. We can never escape these things. And I think we're all adult, mostly in here, we all know this, right? We know we can't escape these things. They're gonna happen. It's how we learn to deal with these things. It doesn't mean you can't, I'm not saying it's the best way of doing it, but it doesn't mean you can't throw a hissy fit sometimes. It doesn't mean you can't get upset, a bit annoyed, a bit angry. I think, to be honest, although it's not the best thing to do, it's very human of us. We still need to control ourselves. We still need to have, through the Spirit, patience, love, gentleness, kindness. But we aren't always going to be perfect. We just need to come back to God and say, God, I can't do this. I can't do this on my own. Be honest with Him. I cannot do this on my own. I need you. Help me. So what is it that's been in your life that God called you to do that you didn't do, or you started and then stopped? I would encourage you to pray about this. And perhaps you're going through something now. I would encourage you, don't just give up just because you've been met with a hurdle or disappointment. I would argue, if you don't get disappointments, you're probably not doing the right thing. Because we also have an enemy who knows exactly what will make you feel the most disappointed. And I would even say that God sends that sometimes to test us. To see how faithful we are going to be with what it is that He has asked us to do. So don't give up just because of a hurdle, because of a disappointment. So in conclusion, like Elijah, we all face moments when our expectations don't align with reality. And when disappointments set in. But in these moments, God meets us. He refreshes us, He whispers to us, and He sends us back into the world with a renewed purpose. While disappointment is inevitable, it is not the end. In fact, it may be the very thing that brings us closer to God's ultimate plan for our lives. So my closing challenge to you, reflect on an area of disappointment that you might be facing. Bring it before the Lord, honestly, openly. Trusting that, like with Elijah, you will find God has not abandoned you, but He is simply whispering in a new way. Let's just pray. Father God, I pray. I pray, Lord God, that you would help us, Lord. Help us to come to you, Lord, authentically. Especially in these times of our needs, of disappointments. Help us to be authentic with you, Lord. Help us not to just busy ourselves with things and not being still. Help us to take a moment, Lord, to tell you all of our discomforts, all of our concerns, all of our discouragements. And Lord, I pray that you would also help us to be able to hear your still, small voice. Help us, Lord, not to neglect ourselves physically, our minds, our bodies. Help us to rest and eat if that's what we need to do. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to move forward in these times of disappointment. Help us not to give up. And if there is anything, Lord, in our lives that we have already given up on, maybe we're just on the cusp of giving up, or maybe we've already given up years ago. If that is still, Lord, something
for us. I pray, Lord, that you would make that clear. Mm-hmm. That you make it clear to us, Lord. All of us, myself included in this, Lord. And Lord, forgive us. Forgive us where we have given up in the past on things that you have asked us to do. Forgive us, Lord, for pretending at times with you. For not perhaps being authentic with you. For not perhaps being honest with how we are feeling. We thank you, Lord, that you are again merciful every day. Mm-hmm. All the time. Mm-hmm. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name,
yes, Lord.
We pray.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just before we finish, I don't like to finish a sermon without giving an opportunity. So, for those of you, I don't know if we're all Christian in here or not, I don't know if we've all given our lives to the Lord or not, but I would just, hopefully you've heard something today, either with my testimony or how good God is in times, even when we're struggling, how merciful he is, he speaks to us in our times. And I want you to know that you also, all of you here, every single one of us, can also have that relationship with the Lord. Every single one of you in here. And so if you have been spoken to this evening, keep saying this morning, this evening, at all, if you just feel anything, then we're just going to pray a prayer together in a moment, all together. And this prayer is a prayer to the Lord, the creator of the universe, the creator of you and I, the creator of heaven and earth, the stars, the sun, the moon, planets, the universe. He is a big God, but he is a personable God, a God who makes himself available to you and I. He sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you and me, so that we can be forgiven. All of us in this room are sinners, and that means we get things wrong. We do things we know are wrong. Every single one of us has done that. At least once. Probably at least 50 million times. I'm exaggerating, but... every single one of us. And so Jesus came to this earth to die for us, to make a way. So let's pray. Together, if you can all just pray out loud together with me, just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me.
Thank you that you love me.
I know I have sinned.
I know I have sinned.
In my thoughts.
In my thoughts.
Words and actions.
Words and actions.
I am sorry for my sins.
I am sorry for my sins.
I turn from everything.
I turn from everything.
That I know to be wrong.
That I know to be wrong.
Lord, help me.
Lord, help me.
To trust and follow.
Trust and follow
you all the days of my life.
You all the days of my life.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And just if you have said that for the first time, it would be great to have a chat with you. So you can either come to myself or Pastor Lloyd or Pastor Dean. Even if that was the 30th time you've prayed that prayer, but it meant something to you today, come forward, we'll have a little chat. We don't bite, usually.
That God is faithful. That God is good.
Yeah.
In every circumstance, in every situation,
hallelujah.
His will prevails.
Yeah.
We can know that goodness when we come to him, when we trust him.
Bless you.
When we make him the centre of our lives, he will pour his goodness out upon us.
Thank you.
And even in those dark times, those times when it feels like we've run away, we're actually on a curve that leads directly back to him. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Our God is faithful.
Hallelujah.
Friends, the words that we've heard this evening have spoken to my heart. I pray that they've spoken to you too.
Yeah.
Father, I thank you for your servant.
Thank you.
Thank you for speaking through him.
Yes.
Thank you for speaking to each and every one of us tonight. May we remember what we've heard. And Lord, that, may we apply it to our lives. May we trust you in the dark times. May we trust you in the good times. May we seek your will and purpose for our lives. And for those, Lord, who perhaps this evening have recommitted themselves to you,
thank you.
Draw near to them, Lord, I pray. May they feel your loving arms around them.
Yeah.
May they know your touch upon their lives. And may you strengthen them day by day.
Yes.
And Lord, for the rest of us, will you go before us into this coming week? May we be beacons of light in the Amen. Darkness of this world.
Amen.
May we shine for you. May we share the goodness of the gospel with all that need to hear it. And may we rejoice this week, Lord, seeing you move in people's lives, seeing sinners saved, the lost found. Lord, do a mighty work in this community and wherever, Lord, your message is preached in faithfulness. Do a wonderful work,
yeah.
That work of salvation. We praise you for who you are. We praise you, Lord, for what you continue to do. And we thank you, Lord, for being here this night.
Thank you.
Thank you, Holy Spirit,
thank you.
For empowering your word. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.